And we looked last week at the mission to Lycaonia. We looked at the province of Lycaonia last week. So what we'll do is we'll just kind of go to verse number one here. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. And the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. We are seeing pretty much the same formula that we have seen in every place we have stopped thus far. They go in and they give the gospel, and they give the gospel boldly. And they do so in a place where the gospel is not always wanted. They don't want to hear about the new covenant. They don't want to hear about the Messiah having come in a wicked and perverse version of Judaism. They don't want to hear about it. What was the purpose of the Judaic law at this time? What were they using it for? What was the purpose of the temple? It was for the religious leaders to have power, to be supported, and to have money. And this idea of the Messiah and things changing, it challenged that, and it bothered them. So that's why you'll see so many just outwardly dismissing that this Messiah that they were waiting for had come, despite how many miracles there were. You've got the charismatics out there right now. They're having their services, and they're going, and everybody goes, oh, what a wonderful miracle. And you've got people out there going, all right, go ahead and hold your arm out. Now, see, look, you see how my hands ain't the same exact length? And they'll get someone like me up there, and they'll say, hold your hands out. And they'll, like, and they'll go, agadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadabagadab They'll get somebody who's just barely sick. They'll get them all excited, bring them out in front so your adrenaline's pumping. And if any of you have ever had soreness or pain and your adrenaline got bumping up, isn't it weird how that stuff goes away? But what happens when the adrenaline goes away? You come back to your senses. And they get them all riled up and excited and they're up there and all that. And maybe they can take a step. Maybe they can stand. But ultimately, those problems, they come back. They're out there trying to create this show. They're out there trying to create false wonders. But I tell you what, if somebody came in and they were missing an eye and they left with both of them, if they came in and they could never walk, their legs never quite grew proper, and by the time they left, not only had their legs grown the way that they were supposed to, but they had muscle and the brain had the ability to use them with balance, and they were able to walk out. To me, I think so often we forget all the miracle when we look at these miracles that Jesus would do and what he allowed the apostles to do. When he told a man who had never walked before to get up and walk, it's not just that he can get up and walk. Your brain spends years developing neural pathways. Your brain develops ways of telling the rest of your body to balance when you walk. To walk is a very big thing. And God didn't just provide the ability. He didn't just take away the disease or take away the obstruction in the spine, whatever it was causing the problem, but he restored the person to the point where they would be had they never had that problem. There was the miracle is often much bigger than what we give it credit for. So when they're there and they're doing these signs and they're doing these wonders, why wouldn't these Jews sit there and say, well, this has to be of God. This has to be by power of the Messiah. Because they didn't want it. And that's what we can never forget about religion today. Why don't they believe what the Bible says? Look, see how the Bible says that? Why don't people believe what Jesus spelled out clearly? Because they don't want to. It's not convenient for them. Why is it that when we sit there and we see that the Lord or the Apostle Paul or somebody in the Bible has spelled something out clearly, why is it that people look back at me and they call me a legalist or a Pharisee? Oh, you're just too strict on things. Well, that's just your way of thinking of things. Why do they do that? Because if it was the truth like it is, it'd make them feel bad. make them miserable. So what we see there is that they are bold. When they come in, they are not trying to make the gospel palatable. And I'm afraid that that is what we see a lot in this world today, are people trying to make godly things more palatable. Well, here's the problem. If God could be palatable to the lost carnal estate at all, we wouldn't have to work so hard. It is by nature we reject the things of God. And the only way to make the things of God more palatable to the flesh is to lie, is to twist, and to pervert the very nature of God to get it that way. Now, what we do instead is we preach the gospel as it is. And I've been told on several occasions, well, you do it like that, and you're not going to get a lot of people in the church. And I asked, why? They said, because not everybody's going to understand it at first. I go, but I thought that it is the Holy Spirit that allows us to understand it. Oh, well yeah, but we were just talking, getting, you know, if you want people to be there, otherwise, you know, people are going to have a hard time. I go, but what happens when I eventually do have to tell them the truth? What'll happen? Well, you get people to leave here and there. But ultimately, your bottom line will stay increasing if you do it this way. Folks, I don't want to be lied to. Do you want to be lied to? I was talking to my brother-in-law yesterday at Xander's birthday party. We had him over, and he was talking about he's got a good, steady job. He works IT for a company that hires on a lot of hospitals and things like that that they do IT for. Got a great job. And we were talking about job applications and things like that, and we talked about LinkedIn. And I said, man, I hated using LinkedIn. Because whenever I would have to go out there to LinkedIn to either pull resumes or something like that, everybody advertising would never tell me what the job was actually for. You ever notice that? This is a grand marketing opportunity. You'll be a marketing leader in this, that, or the other. And it turns out you're hocking knives to your best friends. Just tell me I'm hocking knives to my friends. Just get right to, people won't be interested. Well, at some point, we're going to get to the idea where I have to give you $5,000 for you to give me a job. Eventually, we got to cross that bridge, and what happens? What happens there is what would have happened a long time ago, is I'm going to walk out that door. I'm never giving anybody $5,000 so I can have a job. Take that $5,000, I'll start my own business, either painting or power washing or something, before I'll give that to you to hawk some knives. We have to tell the gospel as it is, because eventually we're going to have to say it as it is. And I'm not talking about giving milk to brand new, or giving steak to brand new babes in Christ. No, we build people up into things, but we don't hide it. We don't lie about it. I never want a situation in this church where somebody says, oh, well, I thought you believed this. You kind of said that and made me believe one way or the other. And I sit there and I have to backpedal. No, let us tell the truth all the time. We'll educate it slowly. We'll educate it softly, but we'll never lie about it, nor will we ever hide it. I like how Brother Dennis did it this morning. You see that church covenant? We don't hide what we believe at all. When was the last time you went to a church you saw the church covenant splayed out that big? I'm not picking on it. I'm just saying it's a good point. We don't hide what we believe. You go out to our website, it is easy to find what we believe, and it must always be so. They did not go in and find a nice way to do it for the Jews. Now, did they tailor it a little bit? Absolutely. All right, we're going to come in, we're going to talk to the Jews so we can start in the Old Testament and work our way up. Why? Because they know the book. We can start that way with them. You have a hard time doing that with the Gentiles, but hey, this is who you are. I could talk to you like this because you understand. Over here, I might have to explain a few more things. But we never hide the truth. We never try to water it down or make it more palatable. The Bible says what it says. And that's why we believe in the Bible only for our understanding of Scripture. Because if we're sitting there and we're getting into debates over what one pastor says or the other, what one theologian says or the other, we're going to be there all day. But we bring it back to the Bible and suddenly people are going to have a lot less arguments to make. Why? Because, that's what the book says. And is this not our foundation? Is this not what we believe? If I believe in God because of the book, and if I believe in God and I know God for who He is because of that book, therefore everything must come from that book. And if anything disagrees with that book, I discard it. They come in, they give the gospel, and they don't change it. They don't mute it. They got the same consistent pattern here in Iconium as they had everywhere else. And what is the fruit of this experience? What happens? The Greeks. The Greeks come to be saved. As we see here in our passage, but the believing Jews stirred up the Gentiles. Sorry, verse 1, forgive me, mercy. That a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. The Jews and the Greeks, they got on board. God saved them. We get it twisted in our mind that if we start going out there being bold and telling the truth, well, that won't work. Well, it worked. It worked when it first started. Society today is no different than society then. We've just got better ways of doing it. Right? They got the same sins, same philosophies, same thought processes. It just looks different. The names of the gods have changed, right? Instead of one God in the Old Testament, we might have social media presence today. And of course, money has always been the heart of all of these false gods. My, oh my, you look at some of the places that preach just the worst of doctrines. Look how big they are. Look at what their pastors drive. Look at just the useless decorations they've got sitting around doing stuff. Man, there was what's the name of that guy? You see, but just going through some of the stuff he's at. You see my airplane? I bought this airplane off of so-and-so. He's a big movie star. Look at this plane. Look at how fancy it is. Look at how nice it is. What's the purpose of that when it comes down to doing ministry? What does it matter? Well, you know, over here at our church, we've got this big, see this piano? We spent $1 million on the piano. Isn't that wonderful? God's good. We got $1 million piano. Well, that's great. That's fantastic. But you know what? You don't have to. Oh, you see over here? Look over here. We've got the finest and the grandest of things over here. We've got this ministry over here. When we go out and we do... when we do mission work, man, we go out and we do jet skiing and we do gliding and we do all this stuff when we go to these areas. Man, wait, when you go on mission work, you do what? And that's what it is. It's vacation mission. It's mission vacation. And they're out there playing around. Used to, when I was in high school, you'd get people who disappear for a week every now and then. What'd you do? Oh, we went on mission work down there in South America. Well, what did you do? Oh, we hang glided and we did this and we did that. I go, well, did you guys give the gospel? No, we're too young to give the gospel. Did anybody in your group go to give the gospel? No. Did you guys do any work there in the church that you went to visit? Oh, we visited 6 or 7 churches. They were so wonderful. They were so glad to have it. Like being there and being Caucasian was the best thing you could do for them. Just goofy. Goofy. You look over and you see people doing real work. You see people setting up medical facilities. You see people setting up churches. I knew a church one time, they had a bunch of people just pour down to Jamaica and they were building the church building. They were putting in windows and they were hanging walls. They had people in the church that could do other things, things that they were trained to do, things they'd gone to college to do, things they were licensed to do. They went down there and they were just a blessing. Just a blessing with their skills and their abilities. And then you've got people today. Oh, yes, we went down there. We spent $1 million taking these kids up into the mountains. And everybody rented a scooter. And we had ourselves a good time. Just say this. You blew a bunch of money for fun. You blew a bunch of money for fun. Nobody got helped. Nobody was better off. No one heard the gospel. It is a sad affair when we call helping the economy down there mission work. And that's what we see. Well, what did you guys do? Oh, well, we had this fantastic thing and this, that, and the other. False religion is so buried deep in the god of money. It really is. You know, when there was every now and then my brother will show me something just gratuitous about a pastor, something he follows on social media. There's a guy out there, he goes, they were showing the guy's watch. He was up preaching. I'll put the quotes on it. He had a watch. He goes, that's a $200,000 watch. Like, that's like wearing my, that'd be like wearing my whole house on my wrist. Why? What's the purpose of that? That's the God. Money's the God. When you sit there and you want to lie about the gospel to get people in, the God that you are worshiping at that church is money. It's a following. When we drag people in and we're like, all right, well, we've got 5,000 people now. Well, how many of them have been properly taught the Word of God? Well, we've got a lot of mini things. Well, does the pastor often check in with these little mini sessions and classes to make sure things are being taught? Nope, there's just far too many people. He can't do that. Well, that's what the pastor's supposed to be. He's supposed to be the one making sure that these educational things are going the way they're supposed to. And we realize that that's what the God is. The God is that backboard. How many people we got in and how many of them are dropping money in the plates. You've even seen that in churches like ours. They'll pass that plate. Man, don't use an envelope. Just make sure everybody knows around you how much you tossed in that plate. So next time we have a business meeting, everybody knows to be quiet when you talk. And they just toss a big old thing. I saw a guy do that one time. I was down there for a funeral for my papaw. And the church passed the plate just to take up an offering. And you saw him count his money up here. And you saw him just heft that money into the pot. Now, as a pastor, I'm supposed to sit there and say, well, that's what everybody ought to do. No. You're putting on a show, man. Money has become the God of that church when that is what speaks. You could have a church without a building. You could have a church without a dime to its name. You can have a church that way. We cannot hide the gospel. We cannot change the gospel for the sake of what we would deem success. So the Greeks, they were saved. Why? Because they preached the gospel. They preached the truth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't need puppets. The Holy Spirit doesn't need a light show. The Holy Spirit doesn't need 5,000 people in the building to work. Now, that would be nice to have 5,000. Don't know if I know how to exactly make sure everyone's being properly fed at 5,000. Sure would be nice, but it doesn't preclude you if you have 5,000. I'm just saying that the Lord doesn't need 5,000 to do his work. And verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Why? We're losing control. We're losing control over this thing. You know, when you had the mega church movement ripping through the country, you know, and many of them are still out there today, what would they call churches like ours for having standards? Well, you're legalistic. You're too hard shell. You got to be more current. You got to be more in agreement to today's times. Why? Because they don't know what to do with the truth. I don't mean to be mean. I hate picking on other things like that. I hate making that a point, but it is. Why is it like that? Why would other people sit there and come in soft and hand a bunch of kids bicycles instead of telling them the truth? Why? Because the truth is an affront to how they do things. It'll scare all the people who don't like the truth away. And there's the Jews. We don't like the truth. We don't like this. So they're stirring them up. How are they stirring them up? We don't know. But they're adding contention where contention should not be. Progress is taking place and they don't like it. Because it calls them out for what they are. Especially the way these men are preaching it. They are not holding people up to a good light. When they sit there and tell the history of the Jews, they are not holding them up as the gold standard, and that's what they like. And folks, if I've learned anything about moderately religious people, is they like to be held up to the gold standard, but they don't want to live up to the gold standard, and they don't like when you point out that they're not there. And that's what the gospel does for each and every one of us. None of us perfect. None of us right the way we are. All of us in need of God's grace. And we see what is the response here. Verse 3, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So while the war is raging on, it says they were there for a while. How many people would sit there and at the smallest sign of we don't like it, they would move on? I've known some people like that. The church starts to have just a little bit of a problem, and the pastor says, adios. Things don't go quite my way, and a church member or two will sit there and say, well, you know, it's time for me to move on. I really feel like the Spirit of the Lord is leading me in this way. Isn't that funny that the Spirit of the Lord led you away just because somebody disagreed with what color something should be painted? When you said, hey, let's do this thing, and the church didn't agree with you, and all of a sudden the Spirit's moving you on. Or we start to have contention, right? We start having issues with people around us. They don't like what we're preaching. They don't like what they're saying. And all of a sudden, well, I just assume stay home. That'd be a true test for every Baptist, I believe, for a protest, for some of these woke people to show up to our church buildings on a Sunday morning and protest on the outside. That'd be the real test for us. How many would come into the parking lot? How many would park their cars? How many would come in and wave at them as they pass by? And how many of us would lose our minds and turn as hateful as they are? How many of us would sit there and be bothered or scared and just drive on past the church? Now, I've got a good feeling about this church, but I think it would be a good test for each and every last one of us to take. If I had to stand against real persecution, what would I do? And the Lord responds, I'm going to let you do these signs and these gifts and these wonders. I'm going to let you do healing. I'm going to let you speak in languages you haven't studied before. I'm going to give you the ability to do these things. And people are believing left and right. Why? Because that just makes sense. It just makes sense. Nowadays, they've got technology. You can buy a pair of glasses, hooks up to your phone, and as somebody speaks a foreign language to you, it translates it very roughly right in front of your glasses. You can see they've got little earbuds that'll translate for you. Been using those for decades. When you got big summit meetings and things like that, just translators all over. They can sit there and tell you what somebody says just like that. It's wonderful. At the time, they could do it without Wi-Fi. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. As something that does not normally happen, and that's why it spoke to so many people, because it is impossible. I'll talk to people today about this, you know, we'll talk about religion and things, well, but doesn't that seem impossible? I go, that's the point. Everybody's reacting to this stuff the way you and I would react to it, right? You're going to get some people who are mad at it. Well, that's fake. That ain't real. You're going to have some people who sit there and don't think that it's possible, and they just kind of ignore it. And then you're going to have some people that look at it, see it, can't explain it, and believe what the speaker has to say. All of false religion has one thing or another, right? Well, this is what our teacher said would happen. Well, has it ever happened? Well, no. When Jesus says things are going to happen and they happen, that's what the difference is. We can see the difference being made. Folks, opposition always follows success. There's always opposition. We can't be afraid of opposition so bad that we refuse to do anything about it. What they had, as one preacher would say, is a stick-to-itiveness. They had the opportunity to leave. They had the opportunity to bail, but they stuck with the stuff. And they stayed consistent in their preaching. Verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Folks, the truth divides. The truth divides. Because the truth does that. There are some people who will not like the truth of the situation. So they get defensive. They get arrogant. They realized that they could lose everything in one fell swoop, and we see that today in the modern world. Somebody will get up and they'll swear up and down, this tonic that we've created is the best thing ever. 2 years later, you check in with them, and they are broke, penniless, and in jail because what they were selling was poison. You got a scientist who'll come up with a medical breakthrough today, and then 5 years after, you'll find that all of his evidence was hacked and false and whatever have you. These people rip each other apart left, right, and center because they cannot establish truth. But established truth cuts. Established truth cannot be argued with. Things that will happen regardless of what we think, they'll split people. Mostly because we don't want to hear what it says. I don't want to hear that I'm a sinner. I don't want to give up these things. Even though you can prove to them that the things that they're hanging on to are only hurting them, people will still sit there and say, I want it. And you sit there and say, hey, this is what God's going to do in the end because of sin. Well, I don't believe that. Well, why? Because they would have to give up the things they are doing. So they're there, and they are working, and they are doing the things that they are supposed to be doing. They're dealing with opposition. They're preaching the gospel. Verse 5, and then there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with the rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. And they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. Now what happened? Okay. You're not listening to us argue against you. You're not listening to what we want. You're making us feel bad. And what does the carnal mind do when it is denied what it wants? It turns violent. Consider this. When two children are arguing over a toy, what happens? Depending on how young they are, it turns violent. Pushing and shoving and little kid slaps. What are we seeing today? I don't like your politics. Let me set something on fire. We sit there, we go, that's ridiculous. Why are we seeing this? Why is it that we would go in and ruin this or destroy that because things aren't going our way? Because that's what the carnal mind does. It is within our nature to shoot the messenger. At this point, they come up with this big cabal. What we're going to do is we're going to go and we're going to do violence. And they say, well, instead of people losing their lives, instead of some civil war within here in the city, let's go ahead and move on. And that's what we'll do next week. We'll move on to the next town next Sunday. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this, that you give us boldness. Lord, we're so grateful for these things, these accounts that you've preserved for us. But Lord, I pray this, that they're not just that it's not just good reading, but Father, instead it's a challenge to us. Help us to look these men in the eye through history and, Lord, meet up to their standard. And Father, ultimately not theirs, but yours. Because as Paul would later say, follow him as he follows you. And Lord, we pray the same. Help us, Lord, to follow this example that blessed you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.